We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
Mount Sinai is also called the Mountain of God because that is where God's presence was. In the dark cloud, in the thunderings, in the lightning, as he gives the Ten Commandments to the people. They hear him audibly with this incredible display of power as it's on top of that mountain of Mount Sinai. And it's going to also be here as Moses goes up into the mountain later on, as we'll see here, that he's going to also be given the Book of the Covenant, which is not the same thing as the Ten Commandments. So all that to say, let's begin here in Exodus 20, verse 18. Knowing all that background, we read this. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Now understand, the thunderings and the lightning, the sound of the trumpet, the smoking of the mountain was continuous as God, through Moses, gathers people there at the foot of the mountain, and then he begins to declare the Ten Commandments. Then the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, you know, all those thunders and lightning. The special effects were just going off the charts as he is speaking. And if you were to ask me, when he says something like, you shall have no other gods before me, for emphasis. Before he goes on the next one, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. And all the ground shaking. It would have been awesome. It would have been awesome. Now, if you think about this, if giving of the law came with thunder and lightning and smoking and with the earth quaking, what will it be like on the day of judgment toward those who have broken the law? If all this display of power comes with the giving of the law, what is it going to be like when he comes back at the second coming to have victory over his enemies to judge? What is that going to be like? What is that going to be like? In Revelation 19, the second coming of Christ, where Jesus comes down from heaven on a white horse to make war against his enemies and set up his kingdom here on earth from Jerusalem. It says his eyes are a flame of fire, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. And then when he speaks, we're told that his enemies in Zechariah chapter 12, I believe it is, that all of a sudden his enemies begin to dissolve right before them. Their eyes, their mouth, their tongue. They did a great depiction of this in the Indiana Jones movie. I mean, when they opened up, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, he says, don't look, you know, and then they just kind of melt in front of you. That is actually the depiction given in Zechariah. When the Lord speaks, from his mouth is a sharp sword. As he speaks, it's going to destroy. We see this amazing display of power on Mount Sinai as just the mere giving of the law before it was even broken. How much more frightening it will be to face God after willfully breaking his law. This is why the Hebrew author would say it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, especially after he has already brought you through grace his son Jesus Christ, which is spoken of there in Hebrews chapter 10. Grace has been given. Grace has been given through his son and through the work that he did on the cross. That's all you have to receive. And you're going to say no to that? That's why it says in Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Fall in the hands of a living God who did not submit, that you did not submit to the receiving of his son who died for your sin, took the wrath of God for you. Yet before this judgment comes, comes grace. That's the time that we're living in now. That grace is before everyone to receive his son. His son, God become flesh in his son Jesus. The incarnation leads to his perfect life. His perfect life leads to his atoning death. And his atoning death leads to his resurrection. And his resurrection leads to his ascension into glory. And his ascension into glory will lead to his return with victory over his enemies in judgment. How fearful that's going to be to fall in the hands of the living God having not received his son Jesus. But until then, grace. Grace. In Exodus 20, verse 19, it says, then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. Those special effects influence them. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So basically, the people are saying, Moses, you be our intercessor. We cannot speak to God or we're going to die. Moses, you be our mediator. You speak for us, Moses. We cannot stand before God. We're afraid. Moses becomes their advocate. Moses is a type of Jesus. Just as Moses is a mediator between God and the people, Jesus is our mediator between us and God. Moses is going to represent God to the people, and Moses will represent the people to God. And the animal blood sacrifices God is about to show the people is to atone for breaking the law, because God is going to show them that the law is going to show that they are sinners and that they are going to break the law and they will sin. And when they do it, they need a legal remedy right away. And that's going to be the blood of sacrificial animals. But that is a temporary solution, because it is man that has sinned, not the animals. It is a human being that has sinned. And so to take away that sin of a human being is going to require a perfect human being, which cannot happen here on earth, which is why God had to be made flesh and dwell among us, because it takes a perfect human sacrifice. So God had to be made human in order to be perfect and live a sinless life, in order for him to be a sacrifice that will take away sin. This just will just cover it for a time. In Romans 8:3, it says, for what law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son. The law could not save. That's why it was weak. That's why it was weak through the flesh. Now, the new covenant teaches us that Jesus, Son of God, is our mediator. There's no other mediator. You want to have a relationship with God, you need to receive his son. And once you receive his son, guess what? You have direct access to God. This is why in Timothy, Paul would say, for there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, especially those who believe. When people say, no, Jesus' atoning sin was just for some. No, it was for all. But it's only effective for those who believe that. If you believe he gave himself a ransom for you, guess what? then especially those who believe. If you believe, then that is a good thing. And guess what? If you believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sin, guess what? You have direct access with God now. The book of Hebrews draws a comparison of Moses' work and that of Christ. And the book of Hebrews makes clear that Jesus is a superior mediator, a better covenant. And Hebrews 8:6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Even though Moses was a mediator, Jesus is a better mediator. Okay, because when you receive him, guess what? Direct access with the Father. When you were listening to Moses' words, that's great, but it didn't give you direct access through the Father. Now, Jesus is not only a mediator, we're told in 1 John, he's also our advocate. In 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I love this verse for many different reasons, as we will unpack here. The word advocate is a Greek word, parakletos. It means an intercessor. It means an advocate, one who pleads the case before a judge. And so it also means comforter, consoler. If we sin, it is not as though at that moment that we're kicked out of the kingdom. Instead, we have a defense attorney who pleads our case, and that person is Jesus. When I was born again, God became my father. There is no universal fatherhood of God. Hey, we're all brothers and sisters of God. No, we're not. I'm only a brother or sister to someone who has received Jesus. Because once you receive Jesus, you become a child of God. And before that, you're not a child of God. What are you? A child of wrath. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Actually, before that, Galatians 3:26. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's how you become a son of God, faith in Christ Jesus. Then in Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, and you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, who once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, what? Children of wrath, just as the others. As you're born into this world, you're born as a child of wrath. James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please God. So before we're born again, before we receive Jesus as our Savior, guess what? We're at enmity with God. We're children of wrath, sons of disobedience, sons of the prince of the air. Who is who? Satan. God becomes your father only when you put your faith in Jesus and you become born again. That's the only way it happens. As a believer, if I fall, if I fail, or if I fall into sin, I read, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This is what it says in 1 John 2:1. He tells us right here that we have an, if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Right there, if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Who's that talking about? It's talking about believers. The believers are going to sin, and when they sin, they still have an advocate. It's not as though they're kicked out of the kingdom of heaven at that point. All right? And notice what it says here. Understand the relationship, what is being spoken of here. It says here, It goes on, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. That speaks of relationship. That even though we sin, we still have a relationship with the Father. What does that tell you? It tells me, for one, you can't lose your salvation. Not even when you sin. He is still your Father. The relationship is intact. My fellowship with Him has maybe been hindered because of sin, but my relationship is still there. He is my Father. And you know why the relationship is still intact? Because of blood. What makes you the son or daughter of your parents? The blood. What makes brother and sister have that relationship? The blood. I could ask you, how's your relationship with your father? I haven't talked to him in years. I have no relationship. Yeah, you do. Your relationship is by blood. How's your relationship with your sister? Oh, I haven't talked to her in years. Again, no relationship. You do have, it's by blood. Nothing can change that. Now, your fellowship might not be great. You haven't spoken to him in 10 years. Okay, get that. Fellowship has been broken. The relationship has not. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. By his blood, we are cleansed and made as white as snow. Why am I a child of the Father? By the blood. And that relationship cannot change. It cannot change. It cannot change. When you sin, the devil likes to come along and say, oh, now you've done it. Are you really a believer? You're probably really not a child of God. What do we know about Satan? He's a liar. He's a father of lies. Why would you listen to him? God tells us if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The Greek word for advocate is used in another place in God's word, and it's the same word that we have here. This is the same word used in John's gospel in John 14:6, in John 14:26, in John 15:26, in John 16, verse 7. And here the word parakletos, the paraclete, is referring to who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus would say, I'm going away, but I will send the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. The comforter is what that means. The one who will come alongside to help you in your time of need. In other words, God sent the Holy Spirit down to earth to dwell in me, to be my advocate here on earth, to look after God's interests in me, will bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus said. He is the Spirit of truth who's going to lead and guide you here on earth. Yet God the Father took the blessed Lord Jesus up to heaven to be my advocate with the Father there, to look after my interests with the Father there in heaven. Now, why do I need an advocate in heaven? Well, because we still have an adversary here on earth, but also in the throne room of God. And that person is the same person. His name is Satan. And he is called the great accuser. Is called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:10. So when you sin down here, he's very quick to be up there and say, hey, he did this, 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 and this. Hey, have you seen your servant Dave? Did you see what he just said right there? Do you see what he's doing? Do you see his attitude right now? And yet, Jesus is up there, waits till he gets done with all the accusations. I personally wish he would jump in there even before the accusations. All of heaven doesn't have to know. And he just steps forward, and I just imagine him with his hands like this. See that? See the scar on my feet and still around my head? He's innocent. I paid the price, which means he's justified. And justified means righteous. In heaven, you're righteous. In heaven, you're justified. Here on earth, we're still working it out. for sure. It's called sanctification. We're getting to that place. But it's such a done deal. You're already viewed that way in heaven. I love that. I would love to see a little glimpse of me in heaven and how I am there compared to now. It'd probably bum me out, actually. Oh, so much more to learn. Yes. God's word tells us that when we see him, we're going to be like him. So right now, we're still, you know, we still sin, we still make mistakes, we still lack faith, all those kind of things. But in heaven, your hope will be realized at that point. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Why? Because hope and faith will be realized. You don't need hope and faith when you're before the person that you've hoped in. You don't need to have faith that you'll make it to heaven when you're already in heaven. You won't have faith and hope when you're with the Lord for all of eternity. You don't need it. You're there. You've arrived. But love endures. Dave love does not. True love, God's love, does. Praise God for that. Love that. And so I have an advocate in the presence of the Father who gives me perfect representation. And God sees me in him. And so I don't need to plead my case on my own. It's given through the blood, and it's given through the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's how I'm viewed. And then in verse 21, it says, so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Just a quick comment here. We're going to actually begin here next time. But I want you to realize something here. God is in the darkness. God is in the dark place. And sometimes God brings you into the dark place and you didn't ask for it. You don't want to go. And you kind of get there kicking and screaming. This happens when you lose a loved one. Crisis hits. It's a dark, dark place right now. I know. But guess what? God's there. And God is light. So even though he brings you to this scary place, this place of darkness, he is light. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's with you wherever you go. And he will be a guide for you as you're in that darkness. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, he brings you that place, that valley. But understand, it's called the shadow of death. In order to have a shadow, there has to be what? Light. He's there. I don't want to go there. It's scary. I get it. When it comes to the dark place, you don't have a choice. Those are all those moments in life that is all of a sudden crisis. Boom. It's happened. Can't change it. But guess what? God is there. And he's going to walk you through it because God is the God of all comfort. So we will be comfortable? Uh-uh. So then as we go through it, as he comforts us, so we could be a comfort to others. That's why grief share is so important. Some of you might not have dealt with grief that has happened years ago. I really encourage you to go through grief share so you can see what God has done through that very difficult thing that you went through, that very, very dark place. But God will lead you to dark places. And God is there with you every step of the way. Amen. We will stand with the hosts of heaven and cry, holy is the Lamb. We will worship.
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.